All right. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Wayward Podcast, where the word paves the way. And I am Jonathan Robinson. I am your host today, and I am so thankful that you get to join me today. I'm so thankful and glad that I get to join you and have a conversation with you. I want to start off first really quick by just apologizing that if you have been following along pretty regularly, and you might have noticed that I'm not sure what it's been, like a week or two, something like that. There was like a week where I just kind of skipped and went silent. And a lot of that had to do with things that were just going on and in life, you know, how that goes. The other part of it is that when I got done with Genesis chapter 1, I wanted to like jump right into chapter 2, and I had a whole bunch of notes that I was ready to kind of go with. But when I sat down and kind of dove into a lot of the content and a lot of the chapter a little bit more, I found that there was a lot of stones, I guess you could call them, that I had not turned over, or a lot of details that I had not really addressed. And I was really glad with how the whole Genesis chapter 1 series went. And I really wanted to put that same quality of effort into chapter 2. You know, I want it to be, you know, the quality and the value to be on a high level of standard for me, you know. And it was also, doing chapter 1 was a huge challenge for me. Again, when I kind of had a lot of notes that I was depending on when I was going into it. But then when I started to go into it, I just realized how much more there was to discover and learn and understand. And that kind of challenged me personally and professionally and everything, just to kind of go deeper into the content, you know. And when I started going deeper into that content, I found that it just really challenged me. And it just, It made me better, and I learned more, and I appreciated more, and when I first started this podcast, one of the driving ideas behind it was all about cultivating a sense of wonder at God's word, and that's what I got to experience going through Genesis chapter 1. And, I really had to dig for it to find that, the treasure buried in that field, you know, and so buried in the field of the text. And so, I just experienced a really deep sense of wonder. I hope that you guys, did too. If you haven't listened already, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that Genesis chapter 1 series that we've done. And so when I was getting ready for Genesis chapter 2, I wanted to bring that same quality and value to chapter 2. And I realized that in order to do that, I needed to kind of slow down and kind of dig into the text. Just do my research. And it's kind of interesting, there are times where we study the Bible and we study the Bible very carefully, very attentively, you know, and we come away with that study having learned new things, you know, and then time goes by and you return to that text and you think you have the text already figured out. But then once you come back to the text and you begin to look again, in a different way, or maybe the same way, or, you know, and you begin to realize or recognize new things that you've never seen before. And it's like, you know, suddenly it's almost in a way you're almost back to square one, or, you know, but, that's just one of the great things about scripture, is that we are always the student and we are always getting to experience God's revelation in a fresh way, in a way that draws us closer into relationship with Him and the world that He is creating. And so, that's kind of the reason why I kind of took I think it was like a week break or something like that, maybe 2 weeks, and just kind of, you know, halted and, just kind of dug into things a lot more. And so now, now I'm kind of ready to kind of move forward, and I'm gonna move forward in little bits and pieces here. Episode today, it shouldn't be too long, although my introduction here has kind of made it longer. But anyway, let's see. Well, today's episode, like I said, we are continuing on to the next account in Genesis 2. And if you haven't listened to the previous series or the previous stories, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, I really encourage you to go back and check those out, because that kind of really lays the groundwork for where we're going here. So, yay. So, once we jump into Genesis chapter 2, we don't get very far into that text before we realize that Genesis 2 is actually another creation account. And that raises a few questions right off the bat. It kind of raises the question of, like, how is there a second creation account in chapter 2 when we have just finished with the first creation account in chapter 1? Did the first one not get it right? And now, one of the frequently suggested answers that has been offered to this question has been that the creation story of chapter 2 is just a retelling of day 6 from chapter 1's creation story, a more up-close and detailed retelling of day 6. Now, whether or not that solution works, or if there is another solution, is something that we will explore little by little as we get into the story and try to figure out what this Genesis 2 creation story is all about. So if you have your Bible and you want to follow along, I am starting in Genesis chapter 2. And for the sake of smoother continuity, I'm just going to begin with verses 1 through 3, the last verses of the first creation story in chapter 1. We've already kind of read those last few verses in our previous series as we were transitioning to chapter 2. But just for smoother clarity, we'll just start with verse 1 and kind of go from there. All right, cool. So chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Here we go. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. On the sixth day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. So this is where the first creation account of Genesis ends, and I try to unpack those verses, and I believe it's in one of the previous episodes. I think it's talking about day 7. So if you want to hear me unpack that a little bit more, that episode is where you will find that. So, but now as we move into the second creation account in Genesis 2, verse 4 here, which we're about to read. Verse 4 works as a transitional verse and helps establish our footing for going forward. Okay? So verse 4 reads as follows. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and we'll get to the rest of that, because that verse kind of continues on into verse 5, and we're not going to look at verse 5 today, so we'll just kind of end it there for right now. But here in what we have read here in verse 4, there are three lenses, kind of like eyeglass lenses, three lenses in this verse that could adjust and concentrate our initial understanding of what this Genesis 2 creation story could be, okay? The first lens is what I guess you could call a structural heading. A structural heading. And this is the first sentence in verse 4 that I just read. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This statement, introducing the generations, is a structural heading that introduces what comes next. Now, Genesis 1:1, if you go back and look at that, Genesis 1:1 is kind of an initial example of this structural heading. There it says, when God began to create the heavens and the earth. Now here, in chapter 2, verse 4, the structural heading establishes for us the generations of the heavens and the earth. And if you continue reading through the book of Genesis, similar structural headings introducing the next, there are similar structural headings introducing the next generation. And those similar structural headings introducing the generations, you see them about 10 times through the book of Genesis. And so these generational structural headings, they are repeatedly used to structure the book of Genesis and propel its stories forward. And their purpose is to introduce what comes next in the text and what is next in the story. And the reason that this is relevant for our understanding of Genesis 2 is that as we are trying to figure out what this second creation story is, this structural heading introducing us to the generations that come next could suggest that the Genesis 2 creation story is a sequel and not an expanded retelling of day 6. And since these generational headings are used throughout Genesis to mark and indicate the next part of the story, it's fair to say that Genesis 2 is simply a continuation of the story already in progress. Okay? So the second lens that verse 4 presents us with is a new name for God, a different name for God. Now, throughout the whole creation story of Genesis 1 through chapter 2, verse 3, the text repeatedly uses the term Elohim, which in Scripture consistently acts as the general name for God. But here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, the text begins to incorporate the proper name of Israel's God, Yahweh Elohim, written here in most Bible versions as Lord God. Now, what new aspects does this change make? Well, one new aspect the name change brings is that the name Lord God adds a covenant lens or a covenant concentration to the story. And this ties into the special covenant relationship the Lord has with Israel, or will have with Israel. And this is not just some patron deity of the surrounding nations. This is Israel's God, the Lord God, who saves, delivers, and heals Israel. A second related aspect that this name change brings is that the name Lord God adds a more personal, intimate dimension to the divine being Israel was in relationship with. He's not some temperamental regional deity. He's not some abstract being, but he is the God who is and has revealed himself to those who are his. The name Elohim, it's a name that dwells within like a place of knowledge, but the name Yahweh, goes beyond that place of knowledge to dwell within the place of relationship. And a third aspect of this name change is that the name Lord God identifies and exalts the one who has claim on all existence. Now, while many of the peoples and the nations in the ancient Near East had origin stories featuring deities, the identification and exaltation of the Lord God in this story is a counter critique or a counter criticism that defies those nations or checks their stories and declares that it is the Lord who is God over all the earth. And as Israel's existence persevered beyond the lifespans of those other nations and their deities, this countercultural critique would endure as a check on all those peoples who considered defying the Lord God in his own cosmic dwelling. So those are three aspects that this name change brings. But how do these aspects impact our understanding of this Genesis 2 creation story? Well, if the structural heading is introducing the generational story that comes next in the story that is already in progress, and the large cause of that next part of the story is not some general abstract deity, but specifically the Lord God who will eventually covenant with Israel, then we might begin to understand this Genesis 2 creation story as both a sequel to the Genesis 1 account and as Israel's specific origin story. And finally, a third lens that verse 4 presents us with is what you might call, or what I'm calling, a thematic perspective. In Genesis 1:1, we read that God created the heavens and the earth. The phrasing of that structural heading indicated that the chapter 1 creation story was focused on the creation of the cosmos. Now, in chapter 2, verse 4, where the line reads, "In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens," we are given the reversal. Instead of the heavens and the earth, now the text says it is the earth and the heavens. Now, even though that is a small change, the exchanged order in the phrase could signal the adjustment of this particular story's perspective, meaning that this Genesis 2 creation story is told not from the cosmic perspective like in chapter 1, but from the perspective of the earth being ordered. It's like a great zooming in has taken place between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now, I'm going to try to illustrate this in kind of a goofy but fun way. I don't know how many of you remember. I think this was a movie from the 90s. I don't know how many of you remember Kevin Costner's movie, Waterworld. It did not get good reviews from the critics. But I remember when I was a kid watching it, I remember I liked it. And I think it holds up. But anyway, it was a fun movie, but whatever. The film begins in outer space with a view of the Earth. And then the camera begins to slowly zoom in, showing the continents being covered with water. And then the narrator chimes in, and he's got that movie trailer bass voice. And he chimes in and he tells the viewers, "The future. The polar ice caps have melted, covering the earth with water. Those who survived have adapted to a new world. And while the narrator's voiceover is going on, the camera transitions to the shining oceans below to focus on one particular character in it. So using that illustration, the creation story of chapter one works like, kind of similar, I guess, to that movie's opening shot, like a cosmic perspective of what's happening with an opening narrative to establish the premise in chapter one. But then in chapter two, the camera zooms in and transitions to the world below to focus on one particular location where the primary story begins to unfold. So that's one way to illustrate it. And with this perspective from Earth in mind, I think we can begin to understand this Genesis 2 creation story as a sequel to chapter 1, as Israel's primal origin story, and as a story that begins from the point of view of Israel's Yahweh God doing something upon the earth. Now, there is a lot more to it than that, but I think these three lenses help establish our footing in this Genesis 2 creation story. Okay? So we're going to conclude it there for today, because I think that was a lot in and of itself, and I just kind of want to leave you with that. So, but we're only getting started. I'm excited about where it's going. So thank you very much for joining me today on this episode of the Wayward Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I'm glad to have been able to have this conversation with you. I hope it encourages and empowers you, equips you, gives you what you need. You have a great day, and you take care. Thank you for joining me here on the Wayward Podcast, where the word paves your way. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.